Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. It has been a week chock full of good news. From the gospel night, Wednesday night, to the warmth of so many faithful people gathered under one roof in Austin, it's been a week of hope and blessing. While Spring Ho was happening in Lampasas, it has been an incredible 10 days in Austin, having the 79th General Convention of the Episcopal Church meeting there. Imagine my disappointment when I saw the readings today. Although, I need to digress and tell you, I love my church. When I saw tension building in the House of Deputies about a coming vote that people were disagreeing on and speaking at the microphones, there was a request for prayer, and the chaplain came forward and led everyone in prayer, and everyone calmed down and they returned to the debate. I saw a number of bishops who were retiring in the House of Bishops, and they were lined up there with their spouses, and Bishop Michael Curry went to each one and blessed and prayed with every one of them while we watched. And then, of course, last Saturday, I heard Michael Curry preach, and he insisted that Jesus wants us to live, quoting repeatedly, He wants us to live. Jesus wants us to live. Today, I just want to talk about good news, but our readings have some difficult material in them. Now, we do have Ephesians, which reminds us of our promised inheritance as adopted children of God, and that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as God's own. But of course, here we have King Herod, Herod who is haunted. He is haunted because he's been hearing about Jesus' acts of healing and casting out demons, and he thinks that John the Baptist has returned from the dead. Poor Herod. He had thought to keep John as his pet prophet, locked up where he couldn't cause trouble, but then he could bring him out from time to time and listen to him. But of course, that was cut short because of an alluring dance that his daughter did, and an impetuous promise that he made, perhaps showing off in front of his guests. And then he is played by his wife, who sends the daughter back with a very grim request. So Herod is haunted, and John the Baptist is dead. Can't we just have good news without the bad, sad stuff? Why on earth did Mark preserve this story with all its awful details and put them in his gospel about Jesus the Christ? It's as if Mark said, no, you can't turn off the nightly news. You must listen and see what happens, both the tragic and the malicious, and the good, the hopeful, and healing. Now, I'm no prophet, which is also what Amos said. When the high priest told him to leave the country. I am more rooted in the pastoral side of priesting, wanting to care for the whole flock of the church. And my inclination is to play down the news of the bad, the sad and malicious forces in the world, and to turn up the good and the joyful. One of my biggest struggles as a priest is living in that tension between prophetic and priestly or pastoral. Before children, before a mortgage, before I was aware of my own mortality, that prophetic voice seemed a lot more attractive and easier to do. It's easier to listen to Amos saying, God has a plumb line and God is going to tear down anything that is out of plumb. God is going to make something new in Israel, and that which is wicked and hurtful, all those who harm God's flock and God's vulnerable, they will suffer destruction. But of course, we know that when God calls us to repent, sometimes we get angry at the messenger. Sometimes sometimes the messenger is even us. We're the ones who have to say what we see, because we've been given new eyes from God and we see evil in the world. In the words of our president, who has vowed to drain the swamp in Washington, sometimes Christians are called to speak out when something really stinks. And sometimes we come to realize that that bad smell, that bad behavior is coming from us, and we need to repent and change and dare to start anew, dare to trust in God's forgiveness. If only we could just stay comfortable in our Christianity, keep it light, keep it fun. But then the world intrudes along with all those smells of decay and corruption. How do we admit our mistakes, that we've hurt others or made promises we cannot or even should not keep? Or how do we step up and act when we see evil or suffering? It all comes back to John the Baptist. His life was about repentance, but about baptism as well. As we know, each of us have two birthdays, our biological birth in our physical family and our spiritual birth into the family of God, through which we are adopted as children of God. And that spiritual birth gives us a new identity, a new experience that supersedes, overcomes the damaging, broken aspects of our identity as sinners. John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Herod, however, he didn't go out to see John the Baptist out there. He sat back, intrigued, but ambivalent, listening to John on occasion. John, who made him feel perplexed. In the end, however, family politics and promises made in front of party guests won out, and he had John killed to satisfy his wife and daughter. He had listened to John plenty, but he just couldn't or wouldn't admit his mistakes. Some things are hard to hear about ourselves, ways in which we've acted that we seem trapped in, and yet repentance and forgiveness is part of God's message through Jesus. We're all mistaken if we think we can hold God's word hostage and let it out sometimes like a pet in a cage, listen to it when we want to, and then listen and put it away but not act. It breaks out and works upon us, changes the world. No prison cell of our making can contain it. I'd like to end with a blessing that Bishop Doyle has been giving wherever he goes in the church. Do not ask for easy lives, but instead ask to be stronger men and women for the living of life. Don't ask for gifts and talents that will match the little things you're dreaming about, but see the great work of God in front of you and ask for the gifts and the talents to meet that mission. Because when you do it that way, when you begin to pray that way, something different happens. What happens is the work itself, when it's done, when it's accomplished, when it's the end of the day, when you reach that final hour and you're ready to retire, whatever it is that you've done and accomplished, it will not be the miracle, but instead you'll be the miracle. And every day, I promise you, you will wonder at the gifts and richness of grace that has come from God through you into the world. So may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you, upon your dearest ones, your closest ones, your friends, your family, and your ministry partners, for this day and forevermore. Amen.